Welcome back to the Books and Bones podcast, where we talk about book to film adaptations. We're your hosts, Jen and Jelena, and we're back talking about Jaws with Jen and Jet from another book on the shelf.
Welcome.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
Hello.
Jelena, do you want to reintroduce kind of the story of Jaws, the movie?
Okay. Well, see, I'm really bad at plot summaries. So I went to IMDb. Literally, the first one is just one sentence. And I think it just, when a killer shark unleashes chaos on the beach community, it's up to a local sheriff, a marine biologist, and an old seafarer to hunt the beast down. There you go.
Very succinct and accurate.
I mean, that's all I got when I was, like, watching the film anyways. They went to go hunt the shark down.
Okay, so I'll just go down and quickly do, like, the year, director, and then the actors, and then we'll throw in a few, like, quick fun facts. So Jaws was released in 1975. The tagline of this movie was, "You'll never go in the water again." True for a lot of people. It was directed by Steven Spielberg, written by Peter Benchley and Carl Gottlieb. I hope I'm saying that right. I'm not too sure. The score was by John Williams. Yes. And the cast. So Roy Scheider was Brody. Robert Shaw played Quint. Richard Dreyfuss played Hooper. Lorraine Gray played Ellen Brody. Murray Hamilton played Vaughn, and then Carl Gottlieb played Meadows. Those are like the six main characters, I think. And here's a couple of fun facts. Benchley actually made a cameo as the reporter when the beaches were first opened. They kind of just like, he's just seen there with a mic.
That was him? That was
it. Yeah.
I only knew that because I was watching it on Amazon Prime and I happened to pause it right at that point and it like tells you who's in the scene. Oh. And it said Peter Benchley as the interviewer and I was like, what?
Oh my gosh, I watched it on Amazon Prime too.
It was just only because like, I paused it.
I guess I didn't pause at that moment, but yeah. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
And last year, Jaws celebrated its 45th anniversary. And I don't know if this is a fun fact, but the shark's name was Bruce.
Bruce. Well, that's why in Finding Nemo, they named the shark Bruce because of the shark Bruce in this.
That's so funny. Yeah.
That's so cute. I love it.
Oh my gosh. That's adorable. Oh, yeah. So I don't know if anyone else has any fun facts they want to throw out there.
I was kind of on IMDb when I was watching the movie, kind of just like going back and forth. And the only thing I really got about Robert Shaw is that he was not the easiest person to work with. And I was like, oh, I like the tension between him and Hooper was because those actors kept like arguing. And I was like, ah. That's why it's done so well that they don't like each other.
Yeah, it sounded like it was really bad.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And then there's something about tax evasion, but I'll have to go back and see what all that was about.
Tax evasion? Oh my God.
No. I was reading that too, and I think it was Robert Shaw or one of them, like, was like doing all the tax evasion stuff, so like he didn't actually make any money off of this, whereas like other people obviously like made a whole bunch of money, but because he was like so in debt or something.
Yeah, there was stuff where he would flee the country and come to Canada and like hang out here in between shoots or whatever.
That's hilarious. I love when people flee to Canada, but like, what?
Because it's much better here.
I only had like one like fun fact marked down. And it was just because, like, I went to film school, so, like, I thought this was cool. But because, like, Spielberg wanted all the aquatic scenes to be, like, close up and, like, actually as if you were swimming, Bill Butler, who was the cinematographer, had to, like, basically make new equipment, which I'm assuming, like, revolutionized and, like, what they use now and stuff like that. But it was actually, like, they made a rig so that it was stable no matter what the waves were doing. So that's why it was like even kind of like weird and spooky, because it was like a sealed box, but it was like submersible and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Fun.
Well, let's just like go right into similarities or differences between the book and the movie. Obviously a big one is the mafia and the affair part.
Yes.
I'm very thankful that they didn't include it, because I don't think it would have done anything like to the movie. And I think he wrote that in the introduction as well.
Mm-hmm.
That, yeah.
It was like everyone who has seen the movie is going to be surprised like reading the book, because like all of that stuff is brand new to them when they read the book. I was like, huh, I have not done either. I don't know what the story is. I just know there's a shark.
That was me too.
I think it just like it really showed the difference between the medium, because just like you said, like having all that stuff on in the film, like wouldn't have done anything. But then I know we kind of talked about how like the writing of the shark in the book was like actually pretty creepy, but having it so focused just on the shark in the film, because it's visual and you could see the water and you could see the stuff, like it made sense. And also I really just didn't want to watch any of that Ellen Hooper stuff. I did not want to see that.
Oh my God. Right. I'm so glad that was left out.
That would have been super, super weird. And yeah, but there's one thing that I will say, which I really, really liked in the movie. It was Quint's monologue when they were on the boat. I'm not going in chronological order, so feel free to jump in. But I remember I took a film class at like many years ago, and this was one of the movies that we watched together and then we discussed. But the monologue, I didn't know this until like, I guess, the film class. But the speech was so the speech came up when an uncredited writer, Howard Sackler, was like, Quint needs more. He needs like a motivation to be like, because he was kind of like a hard ass, like he was like tough in a sense, like really just set in his ways, but he needed to be motivated on as to like why he was the way he was. But so they decided to write this speech for him, which was they call it the Indianapolis speech. And it was a 10-page monologue. So that's first off, holy shit. I cannot see myself reading a 10-page monologue. That'd be, too much.
That's like doing one of Hamlet's, what do you call it? Like, one of those monologues that Hamlet does. like, holy crap. How do you remember all of those words?
I know. But Robert Shaw happened to be a writer, and that's what I found. I don't know how accurate that was, but I guess he cut it down so that he was able to slip it into the movie. And I really like the monologue. So whenever our blog or like the blog is like live, I'll like put in the monologue there. But for anyone that doesn't know, the Indianapolis incident happened during World War II. So what happened was an atomic bomb was being delivered, and on its way back, it was sunk by a submarine, and then there were sharks surrounding the sailors who were adrift. And then, obviously my explanation does not give it justice. So, like, you kind of have to watch the movie to kind of be in the moment. So I don't know if anyone liked that piece, but I really liked it.
I'm not going to lie. I had to go back and put subtitles on because he shark there, so I had no idea what he was saying. I was like, what? Sorry, what did you say? I heard Indianapolis, but what was the other part? But yeah, I did like it because of how like drastic the tone of that scene changed. Because they were all laughing and having fun, like, oh, look at this scar that I have. Oh, you should see this scar that I have. And then he was like, oh, well, let me tell you. So yeah, I liked that scene for that reason.
And it gave him a little bit more. Like, he wasn't just, you know, the drunk old crusty guy that's on the boat and thinks that no one's going to be able to do this. Like, it actually at least gave him a little more like perspective on things.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think it definitely worked. That was, I think, probably one of my favorite scenes too. Like, it was just was really well done. And it let like the three of them kind of interact more in a way that was like less about just being on this boat and killing the shark and like actually sort of talking to each other.
Mm-hmm. Were there any other favorite parts that you enjoyed, like whether it was different from the book or not?
One of my favorite shots from the film, and it's like it's a pretty famous shot, is the dolly zoom when when Brody's on the beach,
yeah,
and his wife's behind him and like he sees the shark. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh wait, what is that? What is that effect?
Yeah, and it was like, because it was like the reverse of what they normally do, so it was one of the like, this is so nerdy, like one of the first times that they did like that reverse version of it, and it clearly, like, that was a huge effect because like you knew his family was there, all the people are in the water, and it was just like you had to be in that moment with him.
That was the shot I was gonna talk about.
Nice.
Like one of the most famous shots ever.
as if people don't know about it. In terms of like the story, which one do you think was better, the book or the movie? I think we kind of just said that earlier, but
I enjoyed the movie because it stuck more to like, you know, like action and focus more on the shark and just them being in the boat on the water. I think, yeah. So watching a movie like Jaws, where, you know, it's pretty straightforward and you can follow the plot pretty easily and there's action, there's jump scares. Just overall, and the music. I enjoyed the movie more.
I feel like it made all the characters a little bit better too, just because there weren't all the different side stories. And then you weren't always necessarily having to figure out who everyone was again. And like, you know, this and that, because you could see them and it was very much just like a smaller cast. So you could just really, I feel like you learned a bit more about, I mean, although the characters I would say are different from the book, like Hooper, even like Brody a little bit, but yeah, I just felt like more focused in with them.
For sure. And like we were saying, you get more about Quint as well, like more of what his obsession with the shark is. So yeah, I liked that too. And yeah, Hooper was just a generally slightly more likable character than he is in the book.
Oh my God, that's so true. He reminded me, I can't place the actor, but he just reminds me of I should have actually Googled who this other actor was, but he reminds me of someone that has been in other movies. What's his name? You know what? We'll circle back to that. We'll circle back to that. Gross. That sounds like we're at work.
Someone works in an office.
But yeah, I'll bring that up again. Jen, you haven't seen the movie, right? This was your first time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So do you think the movie lived up to like what you expected or more?
I think it did. No, I think it totally, I think it lived up to it. It holds up surprisingly well, like for something that was, I think I was expecting it actually to almost be a little bit more dated than it is. Cause like it's 1975. That was, you know, that's a long time ago for, in as far as movies are concerned. And yeah, like even like as much as the special effects with like the shark when it's like on the boat are like clearly fake, it's still better than I was expecting it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And just all of it was really well done. Like it's really well shot. The music is awesome, obviously, because it's John Williams and, you know, he's created like 1,000 iconic scores. But yeah. I think it totally lived up to the hype. There's a reason I think it's still an iconic film.
I couldn't agree more. Even though I've seen it like a bunch of times.
You've seen this movie before?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I've seen it. I think the first time I seen it was
for your film class?
No, I seen it beforehand, but I just didn't like quite understand it. I think I was going through like I was pretending to be like a film nerd because I was like, I want to get into film, even though I knew it was never going to happen. And then I was like, you know, I would go through my phases of watching like weird movies. Oh. And then Jaws. I watched Jaws because, yes. You know, I was going was like Friday the 13th, you know, I had to watch mm-hmm. all those like classic movies. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Wow. And there's something fun about watching a movie like Jaws that is such a, like a classic and iconic movie that has like famous lines that you know about, and then like seeing it, like hearing it happen, like when he's like, I think we're gonna need a bigger boat. I was like, aha!
Oh my god.
He said it.
I did the same thing.
Because it's like one of those lines you know. Like I just I knew that line, but it was just cool to see it like in the movie.
Yeah, I had the same reaction to that because I've seen that clip many times before, but I never got around to actually watching the movie. So yeah, I had the same reaction. I was like, there it goes.
Has anyone seen like the sequels?
Obviously not, because this is my first time watching the first one. So no.
Fair enough.
I've definitely never like purposely watched any. I feel like maybe I've seen like hints of Jaws 2, but I could not in a way that I could remotely say anything other than like maybe or like plot or people or anything. So they just sort of exist on their own.
I feel like those. Okay, so we know how like Friday the 13th or like Halloween has like those millions and millions of sequels. I feel like they never, ever live up to the expectation that you felt in the first movie because it's either a different director or a producer or a different writer. And like, I'm incredibly biased, but I'm going to throw this in there. Scream is probably one of my favorite like film things or whatever, or like franchises that I think was done very well from start to finish. Yeah. Minus the fourth one, but you know. Whereas I don't know if I could ever see myself watching Jaws 2 or Jaws 3 or what was the other one?
I think there's like four. Like
Jaws 3D or something.
Is there? Jaws. Oh my gosh. You know what? I don't even know what the ones are. Idea.
Well, because yeah,
Jaws of something. Los Angeles. 2021.
Wait, hold up. I gotta watch that. I think the thing with doing sequels for movies that like I guess horror films like that where you know it's so good the first time, I think with every sequel they try to like push the boundaries and like make it more scary or more exciting or more twists than the first one, but sometimes they just overdo it. Like the first one has that charm, but the sequels, it's like they're trying to, it's always just trying to push the boundaries, but sometimes you push it too far and kind of get lost, you know? At least that's what I think.
And it's always a film that like was the first of its thing. Like no one had seen something like Jaws. Jaws was the first like summer blockbuster ever.
Yeah.
So then everyone's like, oh, we made all this money. Everyone liked it. Like, let's do it again. But it's like, you can't do that again because
you can't live up sometimes.
It has to be the first one.
I agree. I think one of the only exceptions is Terminator 2.
Fair. Hard agree.
I think you're right about that.
Oh my God, now I just want to watch that.
Right?
Hey, BRB, we're cutting this short. We're going to go watch Terminator now.
I'm going to watch all the Terminator movies.
Okay, bye. Remember in the beginning of the movie, and I just because the interaction was really weird between the boy and the girl, but who thought that the interaction between, I guess, Chrissy and, I don't know, the guy's name, they literally just, like, stared at each other, and then they... Like, it was an awkward stare during that whole, like, them drinking beer or whatever. Like, did anyone think that was out of place? Or was it just me? Or, like...
Yeah, I was like, oh, of course they're going to do this. It seems so typical. Like, these kinds of movies have to start with, like, a young couple going to go like do something and then one of them gets murdered, unfortunately. It reminded me of, oh, what is that? Is it Friday the 13th? Is that, yeah, that's how that one starts too? Camp. They're in like, yeah, that. Yeah, okay, yeah. That's what that reminded me of.
Yeah, yeah, I think they're just like bit. Trying to like suck you in, but you're like, I don't even know who these people are yet. Like, I don't care what they're doing.
What I was going to say prior to that, John Williams, the score. So like, obviously it added a lot to the movie. What are your like thoughts on it other than that it was amazing?
I did read a fact on IMDb. I don't know if this is true or not, but if it is true, it's hilarious. So apparently when John Williams played the score for Steven Spielberg, Steven was like, ha ha, good one. Now play me the real thing. But I guess like when they put it all together, it was like, it was just perfect. And I can't imagine it being something other than what it was too. I think it was really good.
Well, especially like if you were just hearing it, obviously now, because like everyone knows what it is, but like if you were just hearing it, you're Steven Spielberg sitting there and like you listen to it and you're just like, da-na, da-na. Like that's so weird. But then that's exactly it, right? Like once it's on top of it and you see it, because it's just like in the book when you were actually getting that, like the shark's perspective, mm-hmm. like for me, like that was the equivalent, right? So as soon as we were starting, because you'd start to kind of get more water views and the music would come on, and then you're like, okay, I'm in the shark. Like, this is the shark now.
Yeah, and the buildup was very, it was making me anxious. I was like, oh, okay, I know what's going to happen, but, like, when is it going to happen?
Apparently, like, the big scare wasn't even, like, the one that you would have expected it to be. It was the one when Hooper was in the water, and then the head just came out of nowhere. Like, oh, I remember watching it the first time. I was like, holy shit, like, what the...
Yeah, I was going to say that's another one of my favorite parts because it did genuinely scare me. I was not expecting that. And the face was really creepy.
Yeah. No eye.
Yeah, his eyes were like bugged out. And ugh. Like, can you just imagine seeing that though? You're underwater.
And you're trying to like not get killed by a giant gray white and then there's just like heads floating around.
Yeah, you drop the evidence too. You're like, I can't even prove that there's a great white out there now because I dropped the tooth.
Were there any like significant or like outstanding scenes in the movie that you thought were like, wow, other than the Quint's monologue?
I mean, the one where there was like the fake shark attack and it was just like the guys with the cardboard, but then like there's actually, they're in like, they kept calling it like the pond, but I guess it was just kind of like wherever like the break, the water or whatever was there. And like, obviously Brody's kids were there. And so like, they're all running, the girl's screaming and like Ellen's running. And then, you know, like the one boat flips over and then like the boat with the kids gets flipped over. That was pretty good. And like, that was something that didn't happen in the book. And like, that's one that I feel like kind of stuck out to me, just like I'm remembering it more than some of the others. So
I really liked the part where Brody killed the shark, right? What did he say? He's like, open your mouth, you son of a smiley son of a man. I was like, oh dang it, he's gonna die, he can't die, what the heck. What about you, Jin?
Me? I didn't even think of my answer.
All right, well, it's time to think.
Jen, what was your what was a part that stood out to you in the movie other than Quint's monologue?
Other than the monologue? That's a good question. I mean, maybe the part where Quint gets eaten.
Hey, yeah, that was pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, whoa, that's intense and bloody.
You know what? I'm going to go with the part where, like, I find it was such a funny part because it's like you have a town of, like, fishermen and they're, like, you know, big old macho. When all the boats went out and you see everyone just, like, just congested to, like in this area all together, and then you see like a dog chilling on the boat, So yes. I would say that would be like a interesting part that stood out, because they all went at once. No one waited for their turn. And I think it was because there was, what was it, $3,000 was a reward for the shark, I believe.
Yeah. I think so.
So I'll there you go. There's mine.
Yeah, they all thought like, oh, I can go catch this shark. And then they like did catch a shark, but it was not the one.
Yeah, like Hooper's like, its mouth is not big enough or whatever. Oh, you know what? You know, it's actually a pretty good scene that I liked that like came from the book as well. When Brody was like throwing whatever out of the boat, all like the chum or whatever. And then you just see the slow-mo of the shark just like, whoa. Like, hey, guys.
Because it has just like those giant eyes. So yeah, it's always just like, hi.
What you doing? But yeah, like this movie really just, you know, confirmed my fears of like any open body of water. Like, I can't picture myself being, well, like, let alone a shark cage in the middle of the ocean and all you see is blue. Like, just talking about it just like, just creeps me out. So
yeah, when I go to the beach and I get like shoulder deep in the water, I'm like, this is good enough. If I can't touch the floor, that's too far, I'm gonna go back. I need enough like traction for me to be able to run back.
Yeah, I don't want to be deep enough in the ocean that my legs are like dangling.
Right? Like, that sounds awful. You don't know what's down there, even if it's not a shark.
It could just be like a normal fish, just like, you know, swimming on by.
Yeah. And you like accidentally kick it and you're like, nope. I'm going back.
Oh, man. Would anyone go, I guess, in a shark cage? Would they go, what do you even call it? Shark caging? Cage sharking? No.
Diving?
Shark diving. Yeah, I guess so.
Is that what it's called?
Would you do it for $1 million?
Yes.
You're like, just scratch all my fears. I'm going in there for $1 million.
They're supposed to be safe, right? These sharks aren't supposed to be aggressive. So if I can get paid rather than paying someone to do it, why not?
I mean, for $1 million, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe.
Not much less than that.
No. Anything like even like a dollar less? No, absolutely not.
Like $1 million after taxes, like,
yeah. After taxes.
Like, it needs to, like, I need to end up with an actual million.
So I wouldn't, I want the exact sum into my bank.
Like, yeah. Yeah, I got paid this fair and square. Give me my money. You know what's scarier to me? Scuba diving, because that's open water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, at least when you're like swimming with sharks or you're in like the cage, you're in a cage. Technically, they shouldn't be able to get to you. But if you're scuba diving, you don't know what's out there. You're just swimming freely. That's scary to me. And like, I can't, the oxygen tank, like, how do you use that? I still don't understand how to use that.
Same.
So weird.
Nope.
Can't do it.
All right. Do you guys want to hear
those videos?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, go ahead. Say, go ahead.
Do you ever see those videos on Instagram where these people are swimming in open water and it's really deep, and then someone will edit the video so that like when they turn a certain way, there'll be like a shark coming right at you? Oh. Has anyone ever seen that?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
No.
Yeah. See, I was like, it's scary enough to see all of that water, right? But then you turn and then there's something coming at you? That's terrifying.
Well, I don't know. Does it? Okay, there was, I remember there was a, I don't know if it was, oh my God, I can't even talk. I remember there was a YouTube clip of this girl going down a slide, and she flew off of the slide into the open water. Does anyone remember that? And like, there's like a shark in the water, and people are like, freaking out, and she doesn't even know.
She has like a GoPro, and she like jumps in, and then like she's like looking down, and there's a shark that swims past. I've heard that's fake, but oh my
god,
still like the effect is real.
Yeah. I hope we're not making it. I hope we're not making the water like that scary. You know, people still swim in it. It's you know, generally safe. So proceed with caution, of course, and don't take our opinions like seriously about the ocean. Yeah, I was actually going to tell you guys the 12 best shark movies since Jaws.
Ooh.
Oh,
so yeah, if you're like really into, yeah, apparently there's 12.
Wow.
Mind you, this article was released in August 2019. So it was 2 years ago. Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't think there's been many shark films since 2019 anyways. So I think we're good.
Yeah, I don't think so. All right. Let's start from the top. This is The Great White, or just Great White. It's a 1981 film. You can watch it on Amazon Prime. It's basically just a movie about a great white shark. And I'll leave it at that.
All right.
So we talked about Jaws, like, sequels or whatever. The Jaws, The Revenge in 1987 is actually on the list. So it's just, you know, another Jaws-inspired movie. So that is available on HBO Max. Let me see if I can say this one. Tintorera, Tiger Shark, released in 1977. This one is a borderline soft porn film from Mexico. There's quite a few scenes between like a moonlit skinny dipping. And there's some like lovemaking in the water,
and, but like the the humans,
yeah.
Okay.
No, the sharks.
That's why I'm just like, where is this going? Like,
so there's that one. Oh, this one everyone should enjoy: Sharknado 2013.
Sharknado.
Actually, you know what? Classic. I've never seen any Sharknado movies.
Me neither.
Me neither.
But that is something, you know, it's in this top 12 list. Zombie is the next one, and that was in 1979. Though it's not technically a shark movie, but like there's zombies in the water who are in full makeup, and they're like, I guess, kind of like sharks in the water. So just picture sharks. Or not sharks. Zombies in the water still killing. If that makes sense.
Oh,
that's crazy. Because I feel like that would be something I would do. Like, if it was like zombie apocalypse, you know, be like, sure, like, let's go to the water seems safe.
Sorry.
Yeah. So is it supposed to be like fast zombies then? If they're shark-like? That's the worst kind of zombie.
That's actually we're gonna have to watch the movie to find out. Just to judge that.
Like, can they swim fast like a shark?
Or I don't know.
Is it just when they catch you, they eat you like a shark?
Or what if they just like float and then they don't do anything until they're like fairly close, or until you make a splashing or whatever? And like, and so you like, just yeah, you just picture a zombie just literally floating through the water.
Oh man.
So I don't know. I don't know if I want to watch it now. Anyway, we'll go to the next movie. Jaws 2, 1978. I don't think I'll ever watch this, but Brody's still in it, so that's nice, I guess. And then after that, The Reef, which is a 2010 film. I think I've heard about this one before, but it's just like you're in shark infested waters, and then yeah, there's like one character fighting off a bunch of sharks. Wait, The Reef isn't wasn't there like a remake of that with Blake Lively? Maybe that's
there was something with Blake Lively and a shark, and she's like standing on a rock by herself.
Yeah, The Shallows.
Like The Shallows.
I was ahead of myself.
Oh.
Yeah. There's that one. The Meg is on this list, 2018. Which is like a big ass shark. Is it a shark? It doesn't even look like a shark. But I just remember the scene where the little girl is like standing and like it's just all glass, and then you just see the mouth of it.
Gosh.
Yeah. Here's a favorite of mine. Deep Blue Sea. This is 1999. Yes,
I knew that one was going to happen.
You know what? I love this movie. And like LL Cool J's in it. Come on.
Done. Yeah.
So that was
a favorite of mine. It's crazy because you always think the girl's going to, you think the girl's going to make it, and she dies like right at the end.
Yeah, that was really disappointing.
But I mean, like, I don't know. I'm glad LL Cool J made it, though, because he was on the boat for most of it, right?
Yeah, and, like, he was stuck in the, well, he hid in, what, the oven or whatever?
Yeah.
And the shark just, like, you know. Okay, number three. Oh, shoot, I forgot to give you the numbers, but anyways. 47 Meters Down, it's 2017. I seen this one, and this is like one of the main reasons why I would never go into a shark cage. Because so this movie is about these two girls, they're on vacation and they're like, oh, we're gonna go on a shark cage thing with these men we met last night. And so they get in, and it's like not even like a licensed boat, I think. Like, these are just two, like, a bunch of randos. And the cage gets stuck, and then it just drops to the bottom of the ocean. And then they're stuck there. And then I'm giving too much of the plot, but it's just so creepy. Ugh. So there's that one. And then we have Open Water, which is 2004. This has been dubbed by some as the Blair Shark Project. And this is a low-budget movie that was turned into a aesthetic virtue. It's shot on video, and then it follows this couple who accidentally get left behind while they're scuba diving.
Yeah. I remember that
one. See, like, more and more reasons not to do any of these things.
I'd just be happy to watch sharks on, like, the Discovery Channel or Disney's Planet Earth. Ugh. Jeez.
Like, kind of just minding their own business, doing their thing, not when they're, like...
Let's just leave them alone.
Yeah, isn't that what he said at the beginning of his novel, like, in the intro? He's like, yeah, sharks kind of just leave people alone.
Unless they're sick, I guess. But I don't know the science, like, behind that. Yeah. And then, so, number one, we have The Shallows, and that's with Blake Lively.
Okay.
Yeah. So... out of all of those, I've only seen two. Is there anything else that I missed about the movie that we should talk about?
Nothing that I can think of.
It's pretty straightforward, I find.
Yeah, it's a straightforward film.
And, like, anything that changed from the book kind of only helped in the film. Mm-hmm. Like, there wasn't really anything from the book that was changed that I was like, oh, man, I wish they didn't change that. Like, it just... as much as it's the same story, like, it worked. They work separately well.
Wasn't Steven Spielberg only, like, 20-something when he directed this film? That's insane.
I think so, yeah.
26.
Gosh.
Crazy.
That's actually crazy. This was his second theatrical, like, film. Only his second. And then he became this amazing... I guess it would be kind of considered like a cult classic. Wouldn't it?
Definitely like played a role in, you know, Hollywood films, that like it is a marker for how things changed, what the score can do, the different way to shoot things, crazy effects that then like eventually turned into dinosaurs.
He was setting himself up for greatness. So if you were to recommend like the order of watching or reading, what would you like offer first to someone who's never watched the movie or read the book?
I would say read the book and then watch the film. Because I feel like if you watch the film first, you might be like, oh, there's too much going on in the book. I just want like shark action. So yeah, I would say book first, movie second.
I would agree, I think.
What about you, Jen? You ask all these questions, but you never answer them.
That's fair. I don't ever answer them. No, I would do it in that order, too. Even though I personally, like, watched the movie first and then read the book and was like, wow, this book is pretty, pretty awesome.
And I think that's it, like, if you watch the movie first and then the book, you might not be able to appreciate both. Whereas if you read the book first and then the movie, I think you can like have an appreciation for both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree. And it's nice too that Peter Benchley had like ties into the movie, because he wrote part of the script.
I feel like that always helps.
It does. Mm-hmm.
Because at least there's, like, you know that there's stuff in there that, you know, he wanted because he's the original writer of the story. So it's kind of nice.
It's pretty, like, start to finish. It was very straight. And it did what it was supposed to do, which was make you scared of the water. So.
I thought it was so cute when Brody and Cooper were like kicking on those like floaty things back to the ship.
Yeah.
It's like, aw. Because that was my one of my main concerns. I'm like, boat's going down. How are they going to get back to the shore? You know? That's always my worst fear. They're in the middle of the water. How are you going to get back? I know you just killed this shark, but all of those other fishermen earlier, they found another shark, so there's more sharks in the water. You know?
But are they looking to kill?
You never know, but, like, still, just thinking about that is terrifying.
I don't even want to think about that, because I would never put myself in that situation in the first place.
Right.
True.
But I remember I had said Cooper reminded me of someone. Does anyone know who Mark Webber is? He was in Scott Pilgrim. He was like, who did he play in Scott Pilgrim?
He plays the lead singer of Sex the Bomb.
Yeah. And then he's also in a bunch of movies that I've never watched. So I couldn't even tell you. But anyways,
he's in this movie called Laggies, which stars Keira Knightley and Sam Rockwell. I would suggest y'all watch it for Sam Rockwell if you haven't already seen it, because he's quite handsome. That's kind of the only other thing I know him from.
But I guess if you do watch it and you see who Mark Webber is, like, and you kind of put them to side by side, they kind of look the same.
Yeah,
kind of. I can see.
Definitely look into that.
Yeah. Now I can sleep peacefully at night because I figured out the actor's name. I have nothing else to say about Jaws because it was. I just really liked it, and that's about it.
Same.
Any final words?
It's been said, but I can see why it's such a classic film, and it's like such pinnacle of like Hollywood film.
Mm-hmm. And it really does hold up. It really does.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a good spot to end. I had a really fun time chatting with you guys because, well, yeah. One, we've been wanting to do this for a very long time.
Yes.
And
it was so good.
Even though we had officially, like, we kind of officially met via, like, Zoom, well, Zencastr, I guess. it feels like we've known each other for a long time. So I hope we can do this again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
We also novel film sometime every so often. So you guys will have to come on our podcast and we'll talk about something.
Yeah. I would love that. That'd be fun.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us today on our Jaws movie episode. And don't forget to follow
Another Book Podcast.
So check them out on Instagram. Also, you guys are almost 1,000 followers. You
we're
almost
have 1,000 friends. Yeah. So close.
So close. So close.
Thank you.
And yeah, well, we'll chat soon. All right.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.